Let us pray. He who has ears, let him hear. Lord, we would hear and we would understand and apply your word to our lives and your world, and to act on your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Those words we've heard from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, help us to think about the problem of evil, our choice of how we respond to evil, and our hope in God's ultimate victory over evil. And I want to address each one of those points this morning. Firstly, excuse me. Excuse me. You can just turn the microphone down a bit just while I cough. Thank you. Thank you. Firstly, a word about our problem of evil. In this parable, Jesus speaks about an enemy who works against the kingdom of heaven and its citizens. If we were to split into groups and talk about how we understand that enemy, I'm sure we'd get a variety of responses, even within a church. Some might not believe in a personal devil, but would speak of an evil influence. But the evidence of evil suggests that it does not make sense to dismiss the existence of an enemy who works against God's people. But many do. Listen to this rhyme from an unknown author. Men don't believe in the devil now, as their fathers used to do. They reject one creed because it's old, for another because it's new. So, who dogs the steps of the toiling saint? Who spreads the net for his feet? Who sows the weeds in the world's broad field where the Saviour sows his wheat? They may say the devil has never lived. They may say the devil has gone. But simple people would like to know who carries the business on. Good question. The business of evil is flourishing, and we see the evidence of that in our world. The weeds of sin and evil are everywhere. Yes, today in Bread and Wine, we affirm that the enemy of evil, Jesus Christ, he died on the cross by death, destroying death and the power of evil. And his power is limited. The power of the devil, that is. God has the devil on a chain. But as someone has said, it's a pretty long chain. None of us can deny the reach of evil in the world today. And it reaches us. And if we are honest, as we look at ourselves, we know that we have cultivated a mixed crop, even in the field of our own heart. The story is told of a teacher who once asked the children, if all the bad children were painted red and all the good children were painted green, then what colour would you be? And one child put up their hand and gave the best answer of all, striped. Striped. We are we not, a curious mixture of good and bad, light and shade? The American writer Mark Twain said, "Everybody is a moon and has a dark side which he never shows anybody." We are wheat and weeds. And this parable that Jesus tells describes how the enemy does his sowing in the dark, at night, while we sleep. A reference, perhaps, to our spiritual slumber, where weeds grow and ripen into deeds of darkness. Wrong choices follow. Bad habits develop. It has been said, the saint sleeps in the sinner, and the sinner sleeps in the saint. It just depends which one is awoken. We are being transformed from sinners into saints. That's the good news. But we're not there yet. In our lives, weeds and wheat battle for space. It's a battleground. They battle for space and light. And yet, both wheat and weeds grow together under the mercy of God. Earlier in the gospel, Jesus declared in Matthew chapter 5, speaking of his Father, he causes his Son to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And a big problem that this parable highlights is just how difficult it is to tell the wheat from the weeds, from what is good from what is evil. Because evil imitates good. At times, evil and sin can be so close to what seems right and virtuous, so close to our vision of what we imagine good should be. And St. Paul writes, Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light, an angel of light. Evil is the counterfeit crop. It imitates wheat, but it isn't wheat. How is evil a kind of counterfeit? Well, it's power, but it's not the power to do good. It is selfish power to cause harm. And that's a counterfeit. Evil is attractive, but it never delivers. Evil promises to make us like gods, but nothing like the God of the Bible, as if we could usurp his place. That's a counterfeit. And in life, it can sometimes be difficult to distinguish between the worthwhile and the worthless. And even our good deeds don't always have pure motives. So it's not easy to tell the wheat from the weeds. And the word that Matthew uses for wheat here refers to a particular wild grass called darnel. And darnel is poisonous. And that's symbolic. The difference between darnel and real wheat is only evident when the plants mature and the ears appear. The test of what is counterfeit or real, of what is weed or wheat, is in the fruit of the crop when it comes to the harvest. And then, Only then is their yield, their true value, revealed. The ears of real wheat will stand tall, but the darnel will droop. It's impossible to separate them until harvest time. So what shall we do? Having considered the problem of evil, we move on to our response to evil. What choices do we face? Do we uproot the weeds? Do we sit as judge and jury on what is evil and what is not? But Jesus is clear, in an attempt to purify the crop and separate evil from good, we can inadvertently uproot what is good and leave behind what is evil. And then we spoil the harvest, causing more harm than good. And if you look back over history, you can see where men and women have done just that. When we decide what is good or evil, think of the Holocaust, think of ethnic cleansing. And even in the history of the church, we think of divisions and splits. And we remember that Matthew included this parable to teach a mixed church who was struggling with the question of identity, about who was in and who was out, who was a counterfeit leader and who was the real deal. And 2,000 years on, we wrestle with the same issue. We draw lines. We make judgments. It's human nature. And yet, we know we can't. Evil crouches nearer to our own lives than we would like to admit. The Russian historian and writer Alexander Solzhenitsyn put it like this: if only there were evil people somewhere insidiously committing evil deeds, and it were necessary only to separate them from the rest of us and destroy them. But the line dividing good and evil cuts through the heart of every human being. And who is willing to destroy a piece of their own heart? Who indeed? So do we do nothing and sit and wait until the harvest? Do we wring our hands and say there's nothing we can do about evil except worry about it? The danger is that we take this too far and we sit back and do nothing. But we know that some evil in the world does need to be exposed and uprooted. For example, the worldwide church has false shepherds and counterfeit clergy, those who cause harm to others, darkness masquerading as light. And they have had the effect of poison, like the darnel, and they have left a bitter harvest. And such evil needs exposing and uprooting where it is found, and God's field safeguarded. When and how we choose to respond to evil calls for great wisdom. I'm reminded of those words in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There is a time for everything, a time to plant and a time to uproot. Yes, we need wisdom to know when the time is right to act, to expose and to confront evil and to uproot it. And we know when the time is to patiently reserve judgment, because God's harvest day is surely coming. This is our strong hope, our hope for the world. And it brings me to my final point. having thought about the problem of evil and our response, we reflect on that coming harvest. Today is not harvest day. We need patience. As Paul wrote, in hope we were saved. Hope that is seen is not hope. Who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. And this parable urges patience. Yes, there will come a time of harvest. Yes, there will be a day of reckoning, of separation, wheat from the tares, of gain and loss, of barn and bonfire. But that day is the day of the Lord's choosing and the work of God's reaping angels. Jesus explained this to his disciples when he told them, as the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. This is a weeding out of the root cause of sin. Matthew uses that word scandalon, which means stumbling block, from where we get our English word scandal. On that harvest day, God removes from his field the stony, rocky things that cause humanity to stumble or falter. Our scandal and our shame will be purged. We hope and long for that day, and to be counted among the righteous who will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. That is the day that each one of us looks forward to, not with fear, but with hope, because it's the day of victory, the day of acceptance. Every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we say, deliver us from evil. And on that glorious day, all creation will be delivered, liberated, freed from the power of evil. We shall be changed. We shall be transformed. And ultimately, that's what God does with evil. He transforms it. He brings good out of it. And haven't we seen that in Manchester and London and even the Grenfell Tower? He transforms it. One writer said, God did not abolish the fact of evil. He transformed it. He did not stop the crucifixion. He rose from the dead. The day of reaping and harvest is the day of resurrection. What a day of hope. By God's grace and mercy today, we dare to trust that we will be counted as God's daughters and sons in his kingdom. We will shine like golden wheat in his field. This is our strong hope. So as I close, we've considered the problem of evil, our choices of response, the wisdom that we need, and the coming day of harvest. And Jesus' last word on the matter is this: whoever has ears, let them hear. So may we hear in this week ahead. Let's look inside the field of our own heart and see what's growing there. Let us shun the evil one and his deceptions and choose what is right. Let us stay rooted in close relationship with God, our gardener. Let us listen to his voice. May we yield good grain in this life, and at the last be planted in the fields of eternal life. Amen.